All right, Real Dude to Kill podcast, maybe back with another one. Subscribe, rate, review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all of that good stuff. Easy behind the camera.
All right,
what's the name?
Huh?
What's the name? If you're not going by Easy, bro, what's your name, bro?
Adolf Shakur.
All right, bro. We gonna go by Adolf.
Yeah.
All right, that's what we're going to do. And I got a special guest with me, man. NABJ family, covering the Texans. Was previously covering the New York Jets, correct?
Yep.
Out there in New York media.
You got to tell the fans what NABJ stands for.
Oh. Y'all don't know. Y'all got to know after this. National Association of Black Journalists. And it is great. Been in it for 7 years.
Seven?
My first one was in Minneapolis, 2015.
My first one was 2018, Detroit.
For real?
Yeah.
No, that was special, too.
Detroit was special.
I was there.
Detroit was special. Detroit was better than Miami.
No, it was.
Miami was like where we were located. That didn't really feel like Miami, to be honest.
It was too much Ubering.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the highway robbery of the pandemic?
Houston. Oh, no, it got robbed.
We got robbed of the greatest show on turf. That's what
no. People would have loved Houston. I was telling people, I said, man, look, y'all book y'all stuff, y'all flight, book it Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Right. Don't leave Sunday. Leave Monday.
Right.
Because Sundays in Houston is different.
No, it is.
It's.
I've already peeped that.
It's different. So you already been out here for a minute.
I've been out 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like Tuesday. What's today? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. That's 3 weeks since I've been. I came on the 12th, I believe. So obviously it's been 3 weeks. So.
Man, so that was the thing I want to ask you, DJ. Houston, bro. You came from you went to school in Louisville.
Yep.
Ran track there.
Yep.
Then you went to New York. Yep. Did your thing over there. Now you're in Houston. How you liking Houston so far, bro?
I mean, Houston more my vibe. A young black professional like this. Houston, great for people like us.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's great. You know, I like the vibe. Obviously, New York it's a different type of vibe. Everything's like compounded. Everything's close. Everything's close-knitted. So everything's like right by each other. But like, I'm from Miami, so like the vibe out here kind of reminds me a little bit of what I'm used to back at the crib. You know what I'm saying? Like, from the music to the food. Granted, like, Miami has like its own sector of like Caribbean and, you know, Caribbean food and things of that nature, but I think that Houston for sure, like from the brunches to the club spots, it's a fun time. I'll say that.
Yeah, and then of course, like living wise, is different.
Oh,
of course, from New York.
Like, constantly, oh my God! Like my rent in New York, in Houston, is like $16 for like a 2-bed, and I got my best friend moving in with me soon.
Yeah,
it's gonna be $800 a month.
That's it, and it's nicer. Then
way nicer.
Go to New York.
Not even close. Like,
it's
great about staying out in New York. It was nice, though. I would say it was nice. It was three of us, two dudes from New York Times, dude named Emmanuel and Chris.
Chris, you cover Brooklyn?
Nah, you talk Christian Winfield.
Yeah.
That's my dog, too.
Yeah, shout out to him.
That dude named Chris Rim.
Okay.
I think that's how you pronounce his last name. But we were all living together. It was like, you know, 3-bedroom. Decent size, luxury building for like, you know, $4,800 a month, so split 3-way, basically $16,000.
Yeah.
But it was in the gutter. Like,
right.
Chris calls it the trenches.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, basically gentrification at its finest.
Yeah.
But that's $4,800, and you know, like, it's not as big as the crib I got right now. Obviously my area is a lot nicer now.
Right.
So I mean, and again, like, if you want to go like to Lower Manhattan, like Midtown or Lower East Side, West Village, East Village, man, you're paying like 6 racks. Not, you know, per, but like just in total or maybe higher. And you might not even get full amenities. You might not get a washer and dryer. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might not even get an elevator. Again, you know, it's nasty down
there.
Yeah. In that aspect, you know. So the cost of living is something.
Then it was always cold as shit in New York, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good with the cold. When I was in undergrad, before I got to Louisville, I went to like 3 JUCOs.
Okay.
And the second one I went to was in North Dakota. So the cold ain't nothing to me. Like, you know, like New York cold. I mean, it's cold, but like, that ain't North Dakota. What I was seeing in North Dakota was like negative 10, negative 15. One night was like negative 60 wind chill. Like, like, bro. New York is cold. Don't get me wrong, but like, man, I put on a coat and I go on my day.
Yo. So just, and we'll backtrack, just like childhood growing up, because you ran track.
Yeah.
So we all play sports in this room.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We all have to make the decision of, all right, we can't play ball for long, or we can't run track for a long time. We got to figure out something else.
Right.
So did you always want it to be in journalism your whole life, or was it something that changed in between, like college or something? Like, you know, I want to take this serious.
I think when I was young, I always knew I wanted to be in journalism in some capacity, whether it's like broadcasting or I remember I was watching SportsCenter. So my senior year of track, like, I mean, like, I got hurt, so I didn't really have a choice but to, like, all right, it's done. You know, granted, I never thought I was going to run professionally, but you know, as you know, as a competitor, sometimes you have that in the back of your head, like, oh, maybe this go right, that go right. Maybe you never know. But obviously, it didn't work out that. And in JUCO, like, I got kicked off my football team. You know, I was a little bit of a diva, I'll be honest. So I had to run. I switched over to track. So I was already used to making that transition where it's like, all right, this is what I want to do, but it didn't work out, so I got to make the transition. So when it came time for me to make the transition to journalism, it was kind of like, I won't say seamless, but mentally it was seamless. Obviously, financially, experience-wise, it was not seamless. But in terms of, like, mentally, like, all right, I'm done with track, trying to go do journalism, that was pretty seamless. So I just had to figure out exactly how I was going to get into the field.
Yeah.
Because that's also tricky, right? You can do radio, you can do podcasting, you can do PR, you can do communication, you can do TV, writing,
right,
blogging, reporting. Like, there's so many different avenues when you go into, like, the quote-unquote media route. And obviously, journalism is a sector within media, but, like, that's more of a specific thing. But overall, I always knew I wanted to do journalism in some capacity.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know, we talked about it before. Like, this is something for me I never thought about.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was just quick. You know what? Let me change something. I know I can have this baller's life mentality. I ain't going nowhere with it. And then make that transition. You know, sometimes you need that plan B. And you always talk about plan B, you know.
Yeah.
Put all the eggs in one basket.
That's such a stupid cliche. Like,
yeah.
All your eggs in one basket. Like, I don't know who convinced people that if you, like, you can't be 110% committed to plan A, but still, like, invest in plan B. Like, I just.
Right.
You know.
It was always crazy. So, what was that first gig for you in journalism?
Oh, so, 2018, I started working at iHeartRadio in Louisville. But I was a promotion assistant making 10 an hour part-time. So, like, I would, you know, if they had events, then I would go to the events and I would set up a table and have T-shirts and stuff. And, you know, basically, you know, we would have some stuff and then we'd give it out to people that was coming to the event. And sometimes it'd be at a concert. Sometimes it'd be I remember one time, a car dealership or whatever. So, that's basically what I was doing. And then, like this one dude named Howie Lindsay, he would let me come on his radio show and just chop it up with him from, like, 7 to 10. So, basically, I used the promotion assistant gig to open up this venue for me to go and do some radio work. And then I just started doing some writing with this guy named Nick Coffey, covering him right about Louisville football and basketball. And I remember I just went up to Nick Coffey. I introduced myself. He also worked at iHeartRadio. He had his own show from 12 to 3. And I just introduced myself, and he just let me start writing for him. So he paid me like $15 per article. And I used that as my resume to help me get into grad school at Columbia in New York in 2019. But, yeah, man, that was my first gig, man. It's crazy. That's 4 years ago. But that's how I got my quote-unquote foot in the door.
Yeah. So the grad school part, I know a lot of people sometimes, I know that – we want to find this job in journalism, right?
Right.
And it's like, damn, it's like 6 months to a year. I'm not really finding nothing.
Yeah.
And I got to go to grad school. And then when you go to grad, you find that job. Was that something for you? You wanted to go to grad school to find that job?
So I didn't want to go to grad school. I wanted to find a job and just build my way up that way. But obviously, like, I had zero experience undergrad because I was running track. You know, but, you know, they call you student athlete, you're the athlete student, like, everything centered around you being an athlete.
Right.
And, you know, I just never had time for internship. Like, a real internship, you know, I realized was you're working for that company. I didn't understand that. I did like a little internship with like a radio station in at Louisville called what 680 Louisville, but like I ain't learned nothing. Like they ain't teach me nothing. Like I was just there for credit, basically. I'd just be able to say I was there, but I didn't learn anything. And then I remember when I graduated, I didn't have any experience. So when I was applying to stuff, like, all right, nobody was responding to me. I remember one time, this one editor in Louisville, she was gonna interview me, but she ended up not interviewing me to like be like the football reporter. I just didn't have enough experience, because there's a difference between like writing, you know, giving your opinion on stuff, and like Louisville like lost a game or whatever, and you know, you write, you know, quick summation of why they lost and things like that. But in journalism, a lot of stuff is storytelling, and
right.
I didn't understand that. And I didn't figure that out until I got to Columbia. So I will say, like, even though I didn't want to go to grad school and I did not enjoy my grad school experience, it was good for me. And I think that when it comes to grad school, it just depends on your situation. Like, if you don't have any experience, I would suggest you go to grad school. But if you have some, then it might be more beneficial for you to, like, not go into debt and to just try to, you know, grind it out. But then again, like, there's pros and cons to all of it, you know? So it's basically what your situation is, but it's still a tricky slope because, you know, you can get in and not be making any bread, and if you don't got financial support from family or friends, then, you know, that can drive you out of the industry.
Right, for sure. And then you transition to New York Times.
Nah, I was with New York Daily News.
New York Daily News, my bad. New York Daily News.
Yeah.
How did that come about, and what was that experience like? We see on the TV all the time how harsh New York media could be.
Oh, yeah. So I graduated from Columbia. I moved back home, my parents, and I was there for about 6 months. And then I started covering high school sports in St. Augustine, Florida, about, you know, an hour south from Jacksonville. I was there, like, officially 4 months, but I was working with them for 10 weeks, I believe. And I broke a big Black Lives Matter story that centered around this girl that basically she was told she couldn't wear the Black Lives Matter t-shirt anymore. And I did some reporting on that because there was a lot of sketchy stuff going on. And the Daily News, they had an opening because of the one good dude they had before named Manish, Mehta. He was, you know, I mean, nobody liked him, according to people. He was very difficult to work with, and he treated a lot of people poorly. And even some of his coworkers, and this dude named Charles McDonald, he basically outed him out. Manish got fired, and that spot opened up for a while. And, you know, they get filled, and then they interviewed me. I crushed it, and, you know, I was at Daily News by March. So basically, I started working for St. Augustine Record. My first day was like January like 11th or something like that. And I started working for Daily News March 22nd.
Right.
2021. All that happened within like a 2.5 month span. You know, I had did some like freelance stuff for them in December on a San Jose record, but by March, man, I was already working for the New York Daily News, man. So that was pretty crazy.
But then you was really going hard with the New York Jets, too, at the same time.
Yeah, man, you know. So, you know, once I got there, everything switched, and I had to get ready for that new Jets media, that Jets fan base, things like that. Yeah. So that was for sure an adjustment. But, man, that was, like, most of the fun. That's probably the most fun I ever had, like, job-related, you know, because Jet fans, they make it fun. Obviously, the traveling, obviously covering a pro team. Like, there's a lot of pros that come with covering a pro team.
Right.
But, you know. So,
let's get to Houston. My audience is mainly Houston. They want to hear about the Texans. So you've been covering this Texans, this training camp. This is still an Oilers city. This is still Oilers city. Even though I was a baby when they left. Somebody asked me Oilers or Texans. I'm still taking the Oilers. You know what I mean? I'm still taking.
As you should.
You know what I'm saying? So it's been rough. Front office.
Yeah.
Been god awful. I've been on record saying this is the worst ran organization in all the sports. Maybe too harsh. You know, you gotta entertain people. You gotta entertain people and exaggerate it. But damn it, it's bad. The owner, we know he don't give a damn. I can say these things. I don't want you to say these things. So this is all me. This ain't him.
Right.
It's been bad. You know, the whole Watson situation. We drafted Watson. We didn't have a quarterback.
Right.
And I was like, man, I don't think we're going to take him. You know, I was going to, like, black. You know, they don't want no black quarterback, whatever. So, we get him. We fumble the bag. We was up. The last great memory that the Texans had, we was up 24-0. Yep. After that, the shit has been sinking ever since.
Yeah, ever since then. Yeah.
So, what can you tell the people, bro? What you been seeing this year so far?
Well, I mean, early, Davis Mills has been pretty efficient in practice. Hasn't been nothing like spectacular or nothing, but like you've seen growth in the game where like, he's really operating the offense at a good level. I wish he'd just be a little more aggressive, especially in practice. Because practice, we learn, what you can get away with, what you can't get away with. But again, like, he's been operating the offense really well. I've been impressed by Brandon Cooks. Like, if I was a fan, I play fantasy, so I'm probably.
Oh, hell yeah, I'm in that too.
I'm probably going to draft Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I got my own league, and I'm ready.
I'm drafting your Brandon Cooks because, like, he's going to get a lot of targets, and he's still good. Some of the draft picks, I like what I've seen from Jalen Petrie. He's just around the football, man, whether it's in the backfield, whether it's, through the air.
Who would you compare him to? It's early, but.
He reminds me a little bit of Ty Matthew Buda Baker.
Okay.
In terms of like they're always around the ball and they're really good in the run game. That's what he reminds me of. A little, Micah Hyde a little bit from the Bills, but I like Petrie. Derek Stingley, you see the talent, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's still kind of, knocking off some of that rust from not playing much this past year.
Yeah.
Damian Pierce, he's had some nice. He's flashed in the run game a little bit. Oh, Brevin Jordan, he's looked nice.
Right.
These past few practices, like Tuesday practice, he caught like a couple of touchdowns. He caught one during 7-on-7. He caught another one during red zone, right? He caught like a drag route, made a guy miss, turned it up into the end zone.
Yeah.
And then during team drill, Davis Mills threw a ball over the middle, and he went up and got it.
Yeah.
Like, two defenders around him. Really, you look at the highlight, that might be three defenders, but really two defenders. So, there's some, there's talent to work with. It's clear, though, they're in a rebuild.
Right, it's clearly a rebuild.
Clearly a rebuild.
And you brung up Davis Mills because that's, like, the talk around the Texans.
Right.
It's fan base. It's Davis Mills.
Right.
Because it's not a real dilemma like some teams when the Falcons, they're going to get the quarterback.
Yeah.
Philly, Miami's on the edge with their quarterback.
Right.
They got to perform.
Yeah,
Davis Mills is kind of tricky because I look at this situation. It's like part of me feels like if he – because he got the keys. Now, this is his first time OTAs, no pressure from that whole Deshaun Watt situation last year. He knows his team. Because I've seen some reports where it's like, hey, it feels like football now around the Texans practice.
Right.
Davis Mills is impressing some players.
Yeah.
The situation – what would it take, you think, for Davis Mills to keep his job and not make the Texans draft a quarterback early on?
He probably got to put up some crazy numbers. Like, he probably got to, like, because his last nine games, he had 14 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, passer rating 96, was averaging, like, 230 a game. If you times that out the entire season, I believe you're around, like, 3,900 yards. You're close, like you're in like the mid 20 touchdown range. Obviously, good pass rating. So, like, it's tricky, right? Because, that's basically like a Garoppolo season, like a, like a step below, like a Jared Goff season.
Right.
Like, we've seen both of those quarterbacks get moved off of.
Yeah.
So, I think he'd probably have to be a little bit better than that, probably over 4,000 yards passing. I think if he get over 4,000 yards passing, he probably keep a job. Cause like, even with 17 games, like 4,000 yards passing is not. Like,
it's reachable. Like, if you're down the line, you're gonna throw the ball more.
Yeah. Like, that's reachable, but like, that's not something that's like, it's common for a lot of quarterbacks to do. Like,
right.
Even if you look at like the quarterback do 4,000, it's not like 20 quarterbacks do it. It's usually like 12 or like 13 quarterbacks throw 4,000 yards. So. No, you good, bro.
I do have a question.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It says the 4,000 yards. Does he have to keep his job? Do those 4,000 yards, do you believe that has to equate to winning? Because, like I said, there's a lot of stars in this league that put up empty calorie numbers.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So,
because, like, throwing 4,000 yards, still throwing for 4,000 yards. Like, it's not like quarterbacks can just do that, Like, most quarterbacks throw for 4,000 yards are usually, like, NFL starting caliber quarterbacks, Like, only guy I can think of. Like, every quarterback I can think of in recent memory that throwing 4,000 yards are starters. Like, even guys like that you might not think is good, like Ryan Tannehill or Jared Goff, like, they're still starters for your team, Like, those guys, you just got to build a good team around them so you can have success.
Yeah.
We saw with Goff and with the Rams, they got Super Bowl. The Titans, they were able to get a wild card. I mean, not the wild card. They got the number one seed, and they got the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. So, like, if you have a good team on this quarterback, you can do straight. You can do work.
Right.
You know. So I think if you can get Davis Mills to throw for over 4,000, then I think that, like, now it's a real deal discussion because again, most quarterbacks do not throw for 4,000 yards.
Because the only reason why I ask that because in the kid, I want to kind of say this.
Yeah.
If he throws for 4,000 in this division, right, I think that can equate to it in this division.
Yeah. I think too.
In this division.
Well, maybe against the Jags.
Yeah.
But not against the Titans or the Colts.
Well, I will say when you asked earlier about can he keep his job at 4,000, I think too the team expectations is not they know they ain't gonna probably win the division.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I think if they could finish over Jacksonville, you know what I'm saying, if he throw for four, you know what I'm saying, his touchdown interception ratio is okay, because the thing is, if we start this first round quarterback, if we look at old boy from Ohio State,
right,
we look at Bryce Young, we look at Van Dyke from Miami, will they be a step above?
Right.
I think what they said about Davis Mills before he got the knee injury, I heard Troy Aikman say, man, this dude here was that guy before the injury.
Yeah, coming out of high school, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he had, he was a five-star. He had the same, I think he might have been above Tua coming out in terms of high school quarterback rankings. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good point, right? Because, you go and draft a rookie. Most rookie quarterbacks, they tend to struggle a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, they don't – not all of them hit the ground running. You have Herbert, you got Burrow, you got Watson when he first started. You got Baker a little bit. But, not every quarterback hits the ground running.
Right.
Like I said, I understand that. But, Akil, obviously, we're from Houston. We know the Houston fan base. So, the way that I compare it to, because at the end of the day, I think the Texans are still going to look – for that star piece.
Yeah, okay.
I compare it to a situation almost like San Francisco. Garoppolo got him to the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Right.
But here you go. We're giving the job to Trey Lance.
So
I'm just saying, does the numbers have to equate for him to kind of
to win?
Keep his job if the Texans are in that top three realm of a draft?
I mean, it would just come down to, they just want somebody that's, that can, almost carry a team that can be dynamic. You know what I'm saying? My only thing with it's unfair to say this, but with Bam, Ohio State and Bama quarterbacks, they're gonna need a good situation because they're coming from a situation where they have everything. They got 4 or 5 star receivers, 4 or 5 star running back, 4 or 5 star offensive line, great team around them, great coaching staff. Obviously, when they get to the NFL, they're getting drafted high, they're not gonna be in a situation like that. Cause again, we've seen every Ohio State quarterback has not worked out. We just finally got a quarterback from Bama and Mac Jones to finally have some success, it hurts a little bit, too. He made the playoffs. But, again, there's still questions with Hurts. There's questions with Tua. Mac Jones, people think he's already hit a ceiling. So, I don't know how much better Bryce would be, especially if he's on a bad team. And same with C.J. Stroud, So, that's going to be a little tricky. You kind of would need to find a guy that's similar to, now with the way the game's gone, guys want a Mahomes, Josh Allen. That's why Trey Lance went so high. That's why Zach went so high. Because they have those qualities that make you think of Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or Josh Allen. It's if you get one of those guys, you always got a shot.
Do I need the light?
See how
it's
still bright.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a critical year for Davis Mills. I think
absolutely.
It's just you know what I mean? And then it just comes down to, like I said, team expectation. We know it's going to be Coast Titans.
Right.
And that damn AFC is so damn tough. You know what I'm saying?
God, yeah.
You look at the AFC, you knock off your top 10 QBs, majority is going to be AFC. So it's the expectation for Mills is but then we touch on head coach Lovie Smith. We know he got the experience. We know with the defense. I know I'm going to look at the schedule breakdown before we end this, but I know we talked about it earlier with that week one matchup with Coast Titans. Mm-hmm. And it's still early. Anything can happen in preseason. But that's why I think Lovie Smith can somewhat get some wins. It's how the hell they win this game?
Right.
That's going to come.
That's
going to happen.
No matter what team it is.
And in 2 years in a row, the Texans had a pretty decent draft these last 2 years. I would give it to them. They had some draft like this year. They had a bunch of guys. It was damn, this person fell to them.
Right.
Like Michi from Alabama. Right. You know, he's not playing this year. he fell to the Texans.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they could work with some stuff. And you talk about that running back from Florida too.
Yeah, Damian Pierce, yep.
You know? So I do want to ask you this about that, the field talking to some players around the organization.
Right.
Like, what are their feelings for this year with Davis Mills and moving with this season?
Most players believe in Davis Mills. That ain't no question. My bad. That ain't no question.
Yeah.
Like, Laramie Tunsil yesterday said, dog. I mean, I remember asking Brandon Cooks, how good do you think Davis Mills can be? He said, I think he can be great. Obviously, Rex Burkhead spoke a lot about his leadership qualities. Same with Titus Howard, the right tackle, spoke highly about his leadership. So I think the players are bought in on Davis for sure. I mean, again, like, he played well down the stretch last year. So, again, I think that the players are bought in. But players tend to usually buy in to the team aspect. They usually buy into their quarterback because, you know, like, we've all been athletes. We tend to buy into our teammates.
Hey, yeah.
They're good guys, and they show that they have some talent. We tend to buy in because, like, not buying in before the season don't do you no good anyway.
Right.
So it's early. So I think that they're bought in, and obviously, they want to have a good season regardless of what the expectations is. They want to have a good season. Like, they're the ones going out there busting their tails, so they want to make something shape.
Yeah.
Will it? We'll see. But right. Yeah, that's what kind of what that is.
Have you seen Texans got Chester Rogers, but I guess that's cool. But have you seen the quarterback rankings?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
The one from ESPN, the one that Jeremy Fowler did from
yeah.
So for 2021, I mean, I was kind of cool with it. I think I would have had Stafford above Burrow and Herbert.
Yeah,
I would have had him for sure above. Yeah, cause like
Stafford, nice.
Like I think like with Stafford, it's just a lot of it just be narratives. Like Stafford, a baller. Like I think that was proven. You know, like we've gotten to this notion that like a quarterback, you know, like he don't need good players around him to have success. Like when Stafford had good players around him in Detroit, they won games. When he didn't, they didn't. Simple like that. Like we saw, you know, Watson is last year in Houston. They didn't have good players and they didn't make they went 4-12 even though he was balling. That's kind of how I look at it, and I think that Stafford going to the Rams year one, helping his team. When people act like Stafford was long for the ride, like he threw 9 touchdowns, had a passer rating, like he was averaging almost 300 yards passing, had a passer rating over 100. Like he
made some big plays.
Yeah, he was the engine that got him the Super Bowl. Like let's not act like because he didn't win the Super Bowl MVP, he wasn't doing his thing. But I think for 2021. I think that I would have had Stafford higher than Burrow and Herbert for sure.
He was disrespect. He's disrespected a lot.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is narrative. Cause like it's funny. I talk to league exec guys, like they know what they're talking about, and like that's never to be questioned.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of league guys aren't watching every single quarterback. Like they're watching in spurts.
Yeah,
they're not watching every single snap. You know, unless you're like. Coaches, I think coaches are better if they're playing against those guys. But league execs aren't watching those guys every single snap.
Right.
Just not. Like they got other things to worry about, you know? And I'm not saying, like, these guys know what they're talking about. They do know what they're talking about. But sometimes it's easy for them to fall back on theirs. Because when I ask some guys about, Davis Mills, sometimes, like, I got a lot of, I ain't watching, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go and watch them quickly, and then they gave me a quick synopsis.
Right.
Which, you know. Like, I'm going to still take their word. I'm going to still respect what they got to say.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I know more than them. I'm just saying, like, they're humans, and they only got 24 hours in a day. So it's not like, they can do their job and then watch all these other quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of my take on that. I'm not saying take it with a grain of salt. I still give it their respect. But I think, for sure, narratives do play with Matt Stafford.
Yeah, just looking at the list, with the Herberts, and there's nothing wrong. To me, I don't have no issue with the Herberts, the Burrows. You know, I believe Josh Allen is,
I think Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, and you can.
Yeah, I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
I actually got
them
going to the Super Bowl. I don't know if he's the best
quarterback. I got Buffalo, too.
I think he's the best quarterback in the
NFL. Well, I don't know.
There's nothing that Josh can't do on the football field.
Well, I don't know if I got them going to the Super Bowl, but I said the road to the Super Bowl should go through Buffalo. That's what I said.
Yeah, I think for me, when I looked at it, I was like, if I exceed, if I exclude, like, if I'm thinking about the young quarterbacks, I'm looking at the Adams, I'm looking at Mahomes, I'm looking at Watson, Lamar, I'm looking, right. It's a great batch. Like, it was at one point in time where quarterbacks, when the Manning and Brady era was going on, it wasn't, you couldn't just knock off 10 quarterbacks like that. You're like, hey, I like this guy. Right, Nowadays, you can knock off 10 or 12. It's like, man, these dudes could lead.
Yeah, because back in the day, like, they weren't, like, colleges, the college game wasn't suited for the NFL game, and NFL coaches weren't orchestrating offices to suit their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Strengths. They were just basically like trying to fit square holes into pegs, whatever that line is. But
yep.
That's what it was. So like now the game has changed, and now they're doing that, which is why quarterback had more success.
Right.
But there was like a stretch. Like I want to say, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford,
mm-hmm.
Cam Luck. Like after that, bro, that was like a drought. Of, like in terms of quarterback, that was like a drought. But again, like if you're only getting one quarterback per drive, that's. That's only one team that's getting a quarterback, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, like, there were a plethora of teams that just didn't have quarterbacks, you know, because, like, right. The draft wasn't – they were getting some, but, like, for whatever reason, I guess, you know, coaches just weren't developing them right. So,
exactly.
So, yeah, that you're right about that. Like, when Manning and Brady
– it wasn't just a lot like that.
It was mostly just old heads.
Right, so, exactly.
Now it's a bunch of young guns. So.
And before we get out, I want to do this little schedule breakdown. I know we talked before we got
You want to go game by game?
Game by game. Just knock them off.
Yeah, I'd say, all right.
Huh. Hit the light.
What about that one?
No.
All right, we got.
Yeah.
All right, look.
No, look good.
All right, bet. All right, game by game, just off the rip, win, loss. You could probably explain just a little bit. Some games you ain't got to explain shit, right? All right, week one, Colts Texans.
Yeah, I just don't think the Texans going to be able to match the physicality in the run game that the Colts got coming.
So you got loss?
Yeah.
I got win. I barely, bro. I got him. And this is coming from a person. I'm not the biggest Texan. I'm an Eagles fan.
You Eagles fan?
Yeah, for sure. So, but I'm not biased. We probably wouldn't win the division, but, you know.
I think Cowboys beat y'all.
They might. They could. You know what I mean? They could. I still got the Rams going to Super Bowl.
I don't think they're going back-to-back. Yeah, I think
who y'all? Who, Tampa? Yeah.
I think Tom Brady's coming for my boy's coming for a victory.
Oh, you're a Brady fan, too.
No, but think about it, the way he lost last year. He came back to go get Super Bowl. He came back to go get Super Bowl.
We'll see. We'll talk more. I had you back on the pod. We'll talk some more mid-season. All right. So I got one to know you got Colts. All right. We both agreed Texans with the ass about Denver, right? Yeah. All right. We skipped that. All right.
Oh, so we're at 0-2.
I'm at 1-1. All right. Texans Bears.
Where's it at?
Chicago. I got Texas.
I get Texas.
Yeah. I don't want to. Justin Fields went to Ohio State. I don't give a fuck. I don't believe in Ohio State quarterback, so I always had that notion. So I got them 2-1. So you got their first win against Chicago.
Yeah, week 3.
All right. Chargers, Texans in Houston.
Yeah, I'll get Chargers that.
They get their revenge at the last year.
Yeah.
So I got them.
So that's 1-3.
2-2 for me. Okay. Texans, Jags.
Where's it at?
Jacksonville.
Oh, I got Jags winning. I think the Jags are better.
They did. They got Doug Peterson.
They have a high floor, low ceiling, but they have a lot of like good, solid to good football players on the team.
Okay, so you got it 1-4.
Yeah.
All right. Texas and
Texas who?
And the Raiders in Vegas. It don't matter where they play at. Yeah.
So 1-4. So 1-5.
So 1-5. 2-4. All right. Texans Titans. This is in Houston.
I'll get Texas that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get to know. They beat them last year in Tennessee last year.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Texans. So
I'm at 2-5.
Yeah, and I got 3-4. So this round is time right now. Like, okay, Texans 3 games. Yeah, you know, it's all right. They got Thursday night against Philly at home.
Yeah, I think Philly might dog walk them. Cause Philly, man, Philly they got a roster.
Yeah, we did. We had a great draft.
Yeah,
I think Hurts on a mission too. So I got 3-5.
And I'm at what?
2-6. 2-6,
yeah.
Texans Giants in New York.
So we're at 3-6. 3-6.
You got them winning it?
Giants are gonna be horrible too.
Yeah. So you got 3-6, I got 4-6. No.
Nah, you got 4-5.
4-5. Washington Commanders against in Houston.
I'll probably go Washington.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Washington. Chase Young, we back? Yeah, I got 4-6. All right, Dolphins in Miami.
I'm going Dolphins.
Yo. All right.
So what's that? What's that? So we're at 3. I got 3 wins for them right now.
So
I got
yeah.
3 wins for them right now.
We are, y'all got 4. So I'm at 4-7, 4-8. Cleveland, we know that shit. Yes. We know that. Cowboys, we know.
Yeah.
Chiefs, we know. All right, the Titans again.
Titans get their revenge.
Yeah. Jaguars in Houston.
4. I give an answer, that's 4.
So I give them 5. And then Texans, Colts. Yeah. So at that time, last.
So, yeah, they're going 4-13.
I got a 5. Well, so we close on it.
Yeah, we're close.
You probably thought it would be outrageous with the shit.
I mean,
it's only the first game.
Yeah.
First game probably is like maybe off a little bit, but I got them 5. But they could go 4. I mean, so. But
they,
that
they could probably four to six games.
Yeah, so that'll get them. I think the Falcons will be the worst team. Mariota, no Ridley. All
right, that's fair.
You know what I'm saying? So I got Falcons, Giants. So they probably like a 3rd, 4th pick. So they could probably get like a. I think the all hype gonna be on Bryce Young.
Yep.
And Ohio State.
Well, let me see. Here's the thing with Bryce though, Bryce.
He's eligible this year, right?
Yeah, he's tiny.
He's small.
He's like 5'10", like 190. And he doesn't have wheels like Kyler Murray. So, like, we really think that.
Fox is going to draft him, though.
We really think that a team is going to draft a 5'10 quarterback without wheels.
That is tough.
Like, that's tough to act, you know, like that. Like, I mean, I think Bryce can play, but, like.
Yeah, the only reason why Murray was drafted.
Because Cliff Kingsbury wanted Kyler too.
Yeah, exactly.
So banged the table for him.
Exactly. Like
that's you got to convince a some general manager to take a 5'10" quarterback that's one, you know, that's 195, 200.
Yeah.
But he can run though.
Your opinion on Kyler Murray's contract?
Oh man, that's pretty funny.
I just had to.
But they took it out though.
Yeah, they took it out though.
They took it out.
Okay.
Yeah, they took it out. But the fact that it was in, it just shows like.
But it's so funny though. Like he literally said, "I don't watch film" in the New York Times report. He said that He said that in December. He said, "I don't watch film like that. I don't study the film."
Yeah,
like
he did say that.
Like these are his words.
Yeah, he said that. So they knew.
They know like maybe he's not like the biggest studier, and like I mean at the end of the day like if you're you know. I mean, yeah, he's talented, but like I mean, I'm not gonna besmirch the Cardinal was stupid for putting that in a contract, but Kyler still signed the contract, so like let's not act like
160 guaranteed, so
yeah, like let's not act like, you know, they did some like egregious, outrageous stuff, especially with Kyler, like think about it, they put that in, like Kyler said what he said in the New York Times article. Imagine what like happens behind closed doors for them to also feel that, because like that's another thing that we always forget when we discuss sports, that these people around some of these athletes, they're around them way more than we have. We only see them, for the most part, like fans see them for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And reporters, we see them at practice, locker room, games. So that's probably like, I don't know, like 10 hours in the entire week.
Right.
So like there's only so much that we know and what we see, you feel me? So.
Yeah. Nah, that's true. Before you get out of here, one last question. Well, not even a question. Advice for people that wants to be journalists that's like in college or whatever.
Man, I mean, it might sound cliche-ish, bro, but like most people that elevate in this industry, like I mean, it's two things: you need luck, you need connections. I will say that you need luck/connections. That's what I had. Like I'll never ever make it seem like I got to where I'm at because of me. Nah, bro. Like I knew people. Like
yeah.
Like I knew. If not for Bradford Davis suggesting me to. The New York Daily News editor, Kyle Wagner. And Kyle Wagner having, like, the vision of I wanted a diverse sports staff because, like, most of the media market in New York is just white guys, white males.
Yeah.
He has a very diverse staff because he had, like, an Indian woman reporter for the Mets. Who else? Obviously, he had a black Nets reporter. He had a white man for the Knicks, a white guy for the Giants. A white woman, tested diversity for the Yankees, had me for the Jets. And before me, obviously, Manish was who he was, but he was Indian. So, again, like, and then his senior NFL reporter was a black guy, Charles McDonald. And then one of his editors was a Dominican woman. So, again, like, he was big on, and he's Korean, so like, he was big on making sure his staff was diverse. Obviously, if he's not the editor, then maybe if he had like a traditional guy that, you know, kind of played it similar to how everybody else in the New York market plays it, then I don't have those guys in those positions to help me get to that spot. And then also, like, when I got to the St. Augustine Record, like, me knowing Tyler Dragon, who was with USA Today, that helped connect me with the Gannett paper in St. Augustine, the song St. Augustine Record, to help me get to that spot. And then with ESPN, if I don't know Marcel Louis Jacques, who suggested me, and Rich Cimini for ESPN, who also vouched for me, I don't get to ESPN for the Texans. So a lot of it is connection, but a lot of the other side is putting that work in, you know?
Right.
Like, a lot of it comes down to that. Like, most people that succeed in this field, put in that work. It's that simple. Like, I know it's cliche-ish, but it's really that simple. Like, you're not going to be able to moonwalk, especially, you know, you're not going to be able to moonwalk your way into certain spots. Like, you're going to really, like, put in the work. And then what your connections is, then we'll, you know, it'll help, you know, navigate doors. So you got to network a lot, and you got to put in that, you got to really, like, grind, man. Like,
yo,
I was like, I the New York Jets job was a lot of work. ESPN, obviously, a lot of work. But when I was coming high school, man, I was putting in work, dog. I'm talking about, I used to write stories on, you know, student athletes, cover games, do highlights for them, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, going to practices, shooting a film, like this little camera, you know, a little camera like that, and just recording. Yeah. Practices and stuff, and cutting up stuff, and I was doing a lot of work.
I just did that this morning.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a grind, you know, and that's the only way that you would really have a shot to get to where you want to get to in this industry, man. Like, most people that get to where they at, like, they grind at a certain point or not, you know. So
for sure. My dog DJ.
I ain't gonna say your last name. I want to mess it up.
Bienname.
I want to say Bienname. Nah, I appreciate you for sure coming through, man. Hey, we're going to have you on again during the football season.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, gonna, man, I mean, you 10 minutes from my crib, so.
Yo, down the street. Real dude to kill. We are out.